there's multiple reputable brands out there that have really good food. I strict with Reef Nutrition for like corals and mostly most of my fish. And I do a little LRS Reef Frenzy, you know, just to kind of sub in some more meaty foods and even some of the algae. But yeah, there's so many different kinds of people you can go through and companies and
coral food as right well. Here.
Yep, exactly.
See if I can balance it. All these different kinds of that.
Yeah, there's just so many different varieties. And I mean, you can pick and choose and what works best for your fish.
What's up, Reef Fanatics? Welcome to another episode of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about fish food. How much fish food should you feed your tank? When are you feeding too little? And what types of foods are you going to be feeding certain tanks? We're going to talk about all of that today. How's it going, Levi?
What? Going good. How about yourself?
It's going pretty good over here. I mean, I'm a little bit tired today. It's been a busy day, but you know what? It's always fun to jump into a podcast and talk aquariums with you. So definitely. What have you been up to?
Just staying busy. Today was pretty chaotic. You know, I had work, and then after work, I was doing some paperwork for a new vehicle. So long day, a lot of signing and stuff, and just craziness and a little bit of stress, you know, just of figuring it all out. And yeah, a lot going on. So
yeah, that's awesome. A new ride.
So yeah, it'll be nice. Excited. Yeah,
very cool. How are the aquariums doing?
The aquariums are doing good. I just did a water change yesterday on the 75. Then I did a couple on the smaller systems too, but everything's doing pretty well. So can't complain.
Right. So dude, I had a bubble tip anemone. Like, all right. So when I was away from the house for like a week, I guess some algae started to grow on top of the water.
Yeah.
So it's just been floating there. Right. And first time I've ever seen this happen in one of my tanks is the bubble tip anemone attached onto that algae that's floating on the water, and he's just floating there upside down. I'm like, dude, how are you getting on this algae? How is it holding you there?
What?
It's the craziest thing. So
wow. That's something new for me. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then another funny thing about that is the day that I planned to, I'm like, okay, he's there. I can easily get him, put him in a tank LeMaid, take him out of the tank, whatever, give him to somebody. The day I planned to do that, he's already moved.
Go figure.
Back on the side of the glass, crawling back to the other side of the tank. It's the craziest thing.
Yeah, that's how it tends to work.
Yeah, that's what anemones do. Especially when they move around. And I realized what I did wrong. So when I noticed the bubble tip anemone on that algae, well, first of all, I should have got him right away. But secondly, I was trying to clean up my glass. Remember, we talked about how I kind of let the coralline algae go a little bit. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do some good tank maintenance here. I'm going to get rid of that coralline. I moved my pump over slightly, which changed the water flow, which got him to move off of that algae. So
nice.
But yeah, so that's something that's been going on in my reef aquarium lately.
Nice. 10 gallons and stuff doing good?
Yeah, 10 gallons are doing really well. I'm going to be adding a pump to them soon, a little tiny like Higer circulation pump to get them going, get more water flow in there. And I really need to do a water change. There hasn't really been too much like algae growth other than some of the macro algae in the tank are really starting to take off. But yeah, I need to do water change in there. The peacock shrimp is just messing up one of the tanks. He's like, he's hitting all the rocks trying to build a home, and like he's knocking down the caves and the structures. Yep. So I got to redo some of the rock work in there. But
yeah, those things are crazy.
Yeah. And he's tiny too. He's still really small. He's doing crazy. All that. But yeah, what, anything exciting in one of your reef tanks going on this week?
I just got some new blue reef chromis for the 75. So that was pretty exciting. My previous batch, there was like a salinity spike and I lost a couple, and then they contracted some kind of, or they got some kind of disease. I'm not really sure what it was. And it just affected the blue reef chromis. So I don't know. It was weird. It didn't affect any of the other fish. So I waited a whole couple months just to kind of see like if any of the other fish were going to get it or what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And nothing occurred. So I let the tank, you know, just run for a while. Cause I blue reef chromis are some of my favorite fish. They are finicky to most diseases. So I got a nice batch in and they're doing excellent right now. They're eating really well and they're super fat and super healthy. So hopefully stay healthy. I'm feeding like three times a day, once in the morning before I go to work. As soon as I get home from work, which usually is like 4 o'clock, and then before I go to bed. So usually like 3 to 4 times a day, they're getting some food because they like to eat.
Yeah. For sure. And that leads us into our topic of the day is fish food for your reef aquarium. And one of the main questions that we get all the time is how much should I feed? And you're talking about feeding three times a day, but that also depends on the fish, correct?
Yeah, like the fish and, I mean, your tank size, your bile. There are so many factors that play into feeding your tank.
Yeah, and like with anthias as well, like anthias, those things will eat a ton of food, so they're always eating. But whenever you feed a tank, for those of you that are brand new to the hobby, how often, well, besides how often, how long should you let the food float around the tank?
Yeah, so for me personally, if I usually do reef nutrition, which is like a liquid, mm-hmm. but if I do like LRS frozen, it's usually a small chunk, and I have a little feeding ring that I usually set that in, or I dissolve it in like a shot glass, kind of like we talked in our last video. And I usually just dump it in the tank, and I've gotten it to the point where I can kind of guesstimate what they're going to eat. Like, you know, I don't put too much in because I just kind of know what they eat usually. But I usually let the, if I let it dissolve in the feeding ring, it's pretty much whatever they can eat in 2 minutes. And if I still notice they've kind of stopped eating and there's still some food floating around the tank, you know, I take a net and try to kind of just get that out of there, you know. But I have a bunch of cleanup crew in most of my tanks too, so they help take care of some of the excess food. But if there is quite a bit of extra floating food, like in the tank, I try to scoop it out just so, you know, you don't have a bunch of extra food settling around.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's a good point too. Like having a cleanup crew is going to kind of clean up or catch some of that extra food that may have been suspended mm-hmm. too long. But yeah, I definitely agree. I usually recommend 2 to 3 minutes when feeding your fish. And you definitely don't want to put so much in there that it's just floating around the tank and your fish aren't even going after it.
Yeah, I mean, you just want to kind of keep an eye on your fish and see what they're eating. And if they start to slow down and stop eating, and if you still have quite a bit of food in there. So it takes time to kind of gauge that out, but just kind of learn your tank and kind of see what you need to do. But obviously, don't start off with a bunch of food. I mean, if you put some food in there, like a little amount, and they eat it all up, go ahead and add a little bit more if they ate all the food that you put in there up. So just kind of tackle it that way. I wouldn't just throw a bunch of food in at once.
Yeah, definitely. And some things that are really good about certain fish foods, like this Mysis shrimp here, they're like pre-portioned little blister packs that you can pop open depending on the size of your tank. I don't know if you're throwing a whole cube in like a 2 gallon tank or something like that, you know, but you just want it proportional to the amount of fish that you have and the size aquarium that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, cubes for like even smaller nano tanks, if you have multiple nano tanks, it's easy, you know, to take like some tweezers or a little shot glass like this and just kind of mix it up in even some fresh water, some RO water specifically, and kind of just drizzle a little bit in each system. That's what I do with some of the LRS that I use for the smaller tanks. And with the reef nutrition, I usually just give it a little mixture with a bunch of different types of reef nutrition, like oyster feast, mysis feast, because a lot of the fish are going to eat more meaty foods like the mysis and the brine shrimp. So, and there you go, right there. The roe is really good for the fish, like anthias and the chromis love the roe.
Yeah, and the mysis shrimp or the mysis feast from Reef Nutrition is ready to use PE mysis, mm-hmm. which is it's pre-rinsed freshwater shrimp that's harvested by Piscean Energetics up there, Canada. So,
that's good stuff. The fish love it.
Yeah, it's nice and fresh. And yeah, you just mix it up, like you said, little shot glass, give them a concoction, mm-hmm. different foods, and yeah, they're good to go. I use that a lot as well. Now, that kind of touches on what types of food should they use to feed their aquarium. There's many different types of aquariums. Do you want to speak on maybe different foods to use for different types of aquarium?
Yeah, so I mean, you got a couple different types of aquariums. I mean, you have like a regular fish-only aquarium, which could be like butterfly fish or maybe even some of your little more aggressive fish that you can't specifically keep in a reef tank that may eat corals or something. Then you got your regular reef tank, you know, and certain fish are good with certain corals. And then you got like a predator reef. So there's a few different kinds of tanks you can do in the saltwater realm of things. And each of those systems is going to require a little bit different food. Like if you're keeping coralvores, like certain butterfly fish, or even like, you know, your orange spotted filefish, I mean, yeah, they can eat mysis and they probably will, or even brine shrimp or some sort of organism like that. But their diet in the wild, and from what a lot of people that I know have studied and learned over the course of keeping certain organisms like that, is they do need some of the corals and stuff that they're eating in the wild in their diet, because that is just a part of them. And that's what they do. So you want to keep that in mind when you're purchasing fish specifically too. But like for your predator tank, you're going to want like probably even live minnows or live fish, depending on what kind of predators, but like LRS chunky and other bigger meaty foods. I prefer to get like your fish on frozen specifically, because if you're feeding live fish and even shrimp, you could introduce diseases. So you got to be really careful and know where you're sourcing those organisms as well. But a lot of those kind of fish are definitely not going to take to frozen right away. So it's definitely kind of like an easing process. I mean, if they're eating live minnows or live like little shads or mollies that you get from your store, that's awesome. Just try to slowly wean them off if you can. Ghost shrimp are a good source. They don't have too much nutrition, but I try to, if I have some here that I use, I try to gut load them with TDO. I feed them TDO, so they got some TDO in their system. But yeah, the best thing you can do is just get your fish to go unfrozen, because it's jam-packed with amino acids and a bunch of other probiotics and stuff that can help your fish and keep them healthy, just like LRS and reef nutrition. So, and then like your regular reef tank, you're obviously going to have some smaller fish or maybe some bigger fish. I mean, you're going to want to feed your algaes for your tangs. And that could also factor into fish only tanks too, and even predators, because a lot of fish actually eat algae, which can include like a little algae clip on the front glass with some nori or whatever. Or even in some of the LRS, like the Reef Frenzy, it does have some algae mixed in with the mix. And then obviously you're going to have like your pellets, your like mysis shrimp, brine shrimp, and all your other little different types of zooplankton and microplankton. There's just so many different kinds of foods and so many different kinds of tanks. I mean, it all really depends. Just do your research and know what you have so you know what you need to feed. And that takes time too, just trying to figure out what certain fish are going to eat. Because some fish, even if they're quoted super easy to keep and they'll eat everything, like each fish is different. Some fish may not like something. I mean, just like humans, some fish might not like certain things. So, I mean, you just got to keep that in mind too.
I just want to thank our channel sponsor for the podcast, and that is Printed Reef. Printed Reef is providing 3D printed solutions for your reef aquarium, and they do that by providing things like the sand stand and these coral holders and even mushroom cages like this. And they have many more products to offer you over at printedreef.com. And if you're a subscriber to the Coral Reef Talk, you can go over to printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk and use the discount code to save 10% off your purchase. So you can use the code The Coral Reef Talk at checkout, and that is going to save you 10% off of your Printed Reef products. The link and the discount code will be down in the description below or the show notes here on the podcasting platform. If you're watching this on the video podcast, you'll be able to see the products that I'm holding up right now. If you're listening, check out the show notes for more information. And it's super important to give your fish a variety of foods.
Definitely. 100% agree with that.
So even if you have herbivores in your tank, like tangs, they will eat meaty food like mysis, and that's going to give them a little bit more diversity of nutrition to keep them going. So you definitely, to your point, you want to know what fish you're keeping, but you want to vary your diet some. So you want to mix it up with some flake food and some meaty food. And when we say meaty food, we're talking about mysis shrimp, brine shrimp, food that has different fish proteins and stuff in it, shrimp proteins. Those are your meaty foods, usually frozen foods that you get. But when you're thinking about fish food, what type of ingredients are you looking for or trying to stay away from?
What kind of looking for? I mean, you want to go with a brand, you know, that's well known specifically. And I mean, support your local different kind of people that are trying to do that too. But just make sure you know what you're feeding. I mean, make sure you see what they're using to clean their foods that they're giving you or you're buying from them. And I mean, you can just go online and there's multiple different brands and you can look at reviews of companies and stuff, but there's multiple reputable brands out there that have really good food. I strict with reef nutrition for like corals and mostly most of my fish. And I do a little LRS reef frenzy, you know, just to kind of sub in some more meaty foods and even some of the algae. But yeah, there's so many different kinds of people you can go through and companies and
coral food as well.
Yep, exactly.
See if I can balance it. All these different kinds of that.
Yeah, there's just so many different varieties. And I mean, you can pick and choose and what works best for your fish. I've fed fish like pretty much like it feels like the same pellet, but it's a different brand, and they won't eat one pellet over another. Like it's crazy. I mean,
yeah,
I've seen it happen before. So yeah, just pick and choose what you like and what your fish like and what they seem to enjoy and what's convenient and what's, you know, in your budget too, because certain foods are more expensive, you know. Certain frozen foods can be a little cheaper than others, or not powdered. It'll come to me like pellets and such.
Yeah. And for example, cardinal fish, specifically in my experience, the pajama cardinal fish, I will grab these Formula 2 flakes. Like if I run out of PE mycid flakes, then I'm going to go grab Formula 2. But you want to feed high quality food. And sometimes that means that you don't necessarily want like wheat or soy in the food.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's used as a binder for flakes, which I believe this does have some wheat in it. But back to the cardinal fish example, my cardinal fish will eat this. They'll pretty much eat anything that I put in the tank. But I had someone comment on a video saying that their cardinal fish did not necessarily go for the flakes. They went for something that had a little more of the like fish or the meaty proteins in it. And he fed something like this, the Nutrimar Marine Complete, because that has those proteins in it. And I wanted to bring this up because whenever I was looking at this food, it reminded me of this right here. Let me know if it reminds you of this. The moist and meaty dog food. So where are my dog lovers out there? I mean, do you feed your dog this Purina moist and meaty food? Full screen, I can show you. Oh, I just spilled it all over my desk. But actually, I'll do one better. I have a video. I should have just played the video. Look at that. It looks just like it, Levi. What do you think?
It does. I agree. It's crazy. Like, yep.
That's it. Right there, just for your fish. I just spilled all of that all over the place. Now my office is going to smell like fish food. Look at that. Spilled everywhere.
Jeez. I've done that multiple times with different things.
Well, some of it's still in here. Look at all of that.
Yeah. We had a 5-gallon bucket at work of some kind of pellet food that was given to us, and we were using it to feed, you know, the fish, and they were eating it. I was lifting it up to dump it. We put it in like a gallon bag and used the bag and seal it up just so we didn't have to drag the bucket around. And I was going to dump the bucket, some of the bucket into the bag, and just the whole thing, it got caked up because someone didn't seal the lid enough.
Oh,
and
no.
All of it just came out at once, and it was just one big glob, and it went all over the floor, and it was disgusting. And we smelled it for weeks because it just, like, no matter how hard you like swept the floor and scrubbed the floor, I mean, it just smelled.
Oh boy.
Just scooped it out. But it's gone now, so
yeah. Well, that's what I have to look forward now in my office, I guess. Hopefully it won't be that bad. I'll vacuum some of this up. All right. You want to transition us?
Let's do it. All righty. So while we're on the topic of talking about a little bit of cardinal fish here, we're going to jump into our scientific segment of this episode. We're going to be talking about the flame cardinal fish, Apogon maculatus. Now, this is one of my favorite cardinal fish just because of its sheer color. It's just unique. It comes out of the Caribbean and the Atlantic Ocean. Bright red. They do get rather large, so keep that in mind, and they will eat smaller fish, as I've learned over the course of this past year. They eat gobies and little blennies that may fit in their mouth, so just keep that in mind, and they do get rather large really quick. I've had one that was just about 5 inches. It was giant, but they're really cool, super colorful. They'll add some color to your tank. When you can get them in pairs or trios or even singly, I try to keep them singly because they do tend to show a little bit of aggression toward each other. But yeah, if you keep them in a small school, they do pretty well as well. But they're super cool, super unique. You don't see them too often in the hobby, but when you do, pick it up if you're able, because they're really cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Definitely be careful though about it eating your small fish though. That's great.
Keep that in mind. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Gobies aren't cheap either.
No, they're not.
It's not a cheap food.
But yeah, cardinal fish. Is this going to be a cardinal fish episode? So
yeah, I mean,
here's a video clip of me feeding some Reef Nutrition Mysis Feast to the tank. Got a cling fish there. Yeah, no. I had one of those guys for a while. They're super cool fish.
They are. They're so personal too. I used to have one. They come right up to your hand and suction to your hand and literally eat out of your hand. They're amazing.
Yes, they will. It's like a little puppy dog in the tank too. Rat cardinal fish, man.
See those often either. Those are cool.
No, they were pretty awesome. Had them for a while.
I love those things.
But yeah, so many different types of food to choose from. I know for me, I have automatic feeder that I feed Avast Marines. This is their reef jerky. And this is a freeze-dried whole marine food. It's got plankton in there and some different shrimps in there, mysa shrimp, and the complete freeze-dried food that you put in the auto feeder. And yeah, you can use it without the auto feeder, but it's an awesome food.
Yeah, auto feeders are nice and convenient if you have like long work days or if you're not home too often. I mean, it helps feed your tank without you being there. And even for people that have like Anthias or even Chromis, a lot of the Chromis and Anthias in the wild are constantly just feeding on plankton. So you got to keep that in mind when you're purchasing them. They have a high metabolism, even like your green Chromis and stuff, because they're in and out of the coral heads, swimming up in the current, grabbing little pieces of shrimps and plankton that are floating around. So yeah, just keep that in mind that they're going to be eating pretty much constantly. So you got to try to provide that the best that you can. That's why I feed this Caribbean tank like 3 times a day, because the Chromis will just eat like constantly. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to get an auto feeder. I'm just trying to decide what one to get. But that one that you have,
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah. That's what everyone's been telling me to get too.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it's the best one. It is the best.
Yeah,
but I might have to. Yeah, dude, go for it. Now, benefits of feeding your fish, you can help the coloration of your fish, right?
Definitely.
And there is a fish food that Reef Nutrition has that does that, or that helps with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TDO is some of the best pellet food I've ever fed my fish ever. And there has been multiple accounts where people have shared their experience with it on just eat, like specifically with the clownfish and stuff, just the sheer color that comes out. As they feed these, a lot of clownfish breeders use the TDO as well. In fact, almost every single one that I know uses it, because they provide it in literally pretty much every single granule size. Yeah. It starts at the A and it goes all the way up to the extra large. I believe it's large is this biggest pellet, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I mean, there's multiple different sizes to fit every single stage of the clownfish life. And even in your tanks, if smaller go, feed smaller pellets. But I've had fish that literally don't, that shouldn't eat pellets, eat TDO. I used to have some pipefish back in the day that were eating small pellets of TDO, which I thought was insane. But yeah, I've had some crazy accounts with the TDO. And you can use TDO for more than just your fish too. A lot of people use it to feed their corals.
Yeah.
And the TDO A specifically, I like to broadcast feed like with my Gorgonians and stuff. The Gorgs tend to really enjoy it. So but yeah, that stuff brings out the color in pretty much any fish, and it's so obvious to see too, especially in the clownfish specifically. It's insane.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, the particle size too of the fish food that you're feeding. A lot of times you might go to feed your fish or your tank and you'll notice your fish won't go after it because it's too big for their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a smaller fish, you're going to have a smaller mouth. So get smaller pellets and that'll help them out.
Definitely.
For sure. Let's see what other questions that maybe that we can answer that surround feeding fish or fish food. Like maybe how can I tell if I'm feeding too much or not enough? What are some tips or advice there?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely if you can tell you're feeding too much, I mean, you're going to see like your nutrients start to climb. And I mean, especially if you don't have that big of a cleanup crew, you'll definitely see stuff starting to settle on the bottom, especially like pellets and even some of your mysis and all that sort of stuff will kind of collect in your dead areas. You'll start to notice it starting to pile up. And that's when you got to know, okay, like I'm feeding a little too much. I need to cut back on some of my feeding to accommodate and try to fix that problem. Because overfeeding can become a problem. Like it will start spiking your nutrients and you can run into some major issues. You may not notice it either because a lot of people's dead spots are like behind rocks somewhere and a lot of the foods ends up settling there and they don't see it. Mm-hmm. And they don't test very often, so they don't really see it happening.
Yeah, and some advice that you may hear out there is feed heavy in your reef aquarium, but that advice is because it's heavy in, heavy out. So they have the filtration that's helping get rid of that as they feed.
Yeah, that, and I mean, if you have an abundance of corals, especially soft corals absorb nutrients like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. I mean, even some of the hard corals really enjoy the extra food. But you just got to be really careful. You got to keep in mind that what you feed, like, it's got to come out pretty much. I mean, it's going to go through the cycle, and it will turn into nitrates, and your nitrates will slowly climb, unless you have something to remove those nitrates, like an algae scrubber, skimmers, I mean, all that sort of stuff that helps remove nutrients will help. So just keep that in mind. Your tank bio, like, there's bio loads. I mean, there's a lot of factors that will play into your nutrients climbing, especially if you're feeding a lot. And your size of your tank, throwing a bunch of food in a small tank and you got a bunch of fish in a small tank, your nutrients will shoot up like crazy before you even know
it. Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, if you're not feeding enough, I mean, it depends on the fish that you have, because you can miss a day, 2 days, and the fish are going to be fine. But once you start noticing like the fish with like a sunken concave belly, or they're really thin, maybe they're slowing down, they're getting lethargic, you're not feeding enough. Then if that's happening, that can lead to infections and parasites and disease and all of that stuff.
Yep, makes them a little weaker.
Yeah, and so that's why we talked about at the top of the episode, feed your fish enough that they can eat within 2 to 3 minutes, watch what they eat. And to your point, Levi, if they do eat everything you put in the tank, you can feed them a little bit more and it'd be perfectly fine. And if they're getting enough, you'll see they'll have a little roundness in their bellies, and yeah, they're happy, fat and happy.
Yeah, fat fish is a healthy fish.
So we talked about feeding fish. Should we be feeding our corals? What advice do you have around feeding corals?
Absolutely. I mean, even if it's not a non-photosynthetic coral, I mean, they still eat. I mean, what do you think they do in the wild all the time? They're eating. So, I mean, especially LPS corals. I love seeing LPS corals feed, and even SPS. I mean, feeding some SPS corals can bring out some crazy polyp extension that you might not even know is possible with your SPS. So just feed your corals. I love feeding corals. I feed my corals a lot, even the photosynthetic ones. I mean, it also helps keep them healthy, and it makes a better coral overall in the long run.
Yeah, and there's plenty of coral food out there as well. Corals is a lot of fun.
Duncans, scolies, corals, a lot of different LPS corals are really fun to feed because you can see them specifically consuming the food.
Yeah, and a lot of like the meaty foods, like the mysis shrimp that you're feeding your fish, your corals are going to grab that and snatch it up too. Whether you target feed them or just broadcast feed your tank, they'll pick up on it too. So is there a fish food that you don't like to feed your tank?
I got a shame a product.
Oh, I don't know. Is it really bad? You don't have to mention.
I mean, I've tried a lot of different foods.
Mm-hmm.
And a few have stuck out from the rest. I've fed like different kinds of two little fishies. I use two little fishies for the nori.
Mm-hmm.
Like the seaweed, they got some good seaweed. And I've just, over the years, I've been in the hobby for like 5-6 years now, which isn't really that long, but I've done a lot of stuff and kind of documented a lot of stuff. But all in all, I've found reef nutrition to be one of the best. And there's I'm not saying none of the others are great, but there's multiple others that are really good. But I tend to stick with reef nutrition. And LRS for frozen is probably one of the best. It is a little more expensive. Hari is really good. But, I mean, I don't really think there's any fish food that I've tried that my fish really haven't liked or I haven't really liked feeding.
Yeah.
I personally don't really like the reefroids because I've noticed when I did use them in the past that it runs the nutrients up super quick because there's like yeast and stuff in it, which will spike your nutrients. But that has more to do with coral than anything. But I mean, as far as fish food goes, I really don't think I've had much of any issues with anyone, but I really enjoy the reef nutrition. It's clean, it's good, it's high quality. And then for a little substitution with the LRS, I mean, the LRS Reef Frenzy is really good as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even though something like the Formula 2 Flakes, it says it has, where did I see that? Wheat gluten and the wheat flour. Mm-hmm. It does have a lot of good stuff in there. So it's got salmon, it's got salmon eggs, it's got fish meal, it's got mussels, dried kelp, brine shrimp, kelp meal, spirulina. So it's got a lot of good stuff in there that the fish gravitate towards. But if you are looking for something to vary that diet a little bit, like you're talking about Julian Sprung's here, the mixed seaweed, if you look at the ingredients here, it is just 100% dried seaweed. So it depends stuff. It's good stuff. It depends on what really you want to feed your fish. They will do just fine with something like this, to your point, but you can always change that diet as you go and see what your fish like, experiment with, how much you're willing to spend on your fish food. But yeah, I know with, was it LRS, the Reef Frenzy and stuff like that. I saw a video years ago where I believe it was is it a retired police officer that started this brand?
If I'm not mistaken, yes, I believe so. Quote me on that, but I believe so.
Yeah, and he makes it all fresh, and you see the ingredients that he uses, and fresh food is some of the best food. So
definitely.
So that's our episode on feeding your fish, how to feed your fish, when to feed your fish, and what type of fish food you should be feeding your fish. Let us know if you have any questions down in the comments below, and we will not hesitate to answer that. And if you're watching and listening to the podcast here on YouTube, thank you so much for clicking that subscribe button and hitting that like button. And if you're listening on Spotify, we appreciate you as well. Go ahead and leave a comment what you thought of this episode. It's a really long outro, but thank you so much for listening, watching, subscribing, and all of those things. And we will see you in the next one.
See you guys.
Peace.